Ready to go. Dinner. Are there's good news?
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
Nope. One knows what's up or down.
Exactly
right.
Legal.
Or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into.
The things that this show has called him, this approach is, I guess it's kind of like we're living in the Twilight Zone.
You walk into this room at your own risk, because it leads to the future. Not a future that will be, but one that might be. But like every one of the super states that preceded it, it has one iron rule. Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
Truth isn't truth.
I hear it's fake news, but maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
I think it's fake news, okay? Now, would I do that? Absolutely.
May God bless the memory of those who perished in Toledo.
Imagine there's no Muslims. A very good thing. No more blacks or liberals or Hispanics. Imagine just one country, white like me and you. Imagine there's no gun laws, tax breaks for the rich, no more need for PC, call every girl a bitch, no more pesky media.
Campaign kicked off last night in El Paso, Texas.
Out in the West Texas town of El Paso, I saw a speech by a man Putin adores. He talked about walls, fake news, and then more walls, and how you can't own cows anymore.
You're not allowed to own cows anymore.
After an intro by the Zodiac Killer, Dear Trump didn't monger in his monologue.
It's the radical left coming for your money, and they're coming for your freedom.
Caravans, socialists and socialist caravans, then rambled on and on about dogs.
You do love your dogs, don't you? I wouldn't mind having one, honestly, but I don't have any time.
Although his pants are clearly on fire, it turns out he said one thing that was true.
I'm guilty!
Trump held a MAGA rally in El Paso back in February, and he still owes the city more than $470,000.
Look, it is too soon after this horrible tragedy to talk about things like gun control or the money I owe you. I, for one, refuse to politicize me not wanting to pay you back.
In fact, Donald Trump is so late in paying back El Paso that the city has imposed late fees, which bring the bill to more than $500,000. Well, sure, sure, it's the VIG that gets you. Donnie and T's in deep to the juice, man.
For another weekend of sadness and outrage in the United States, we had two more mass shootings, one on Saturday in El Paso, the other in Dayton Sunday morning. Horrible, senseless tragedies again with many lives lost.
Latest evidence is the two mass shootings in less than 24 hours, one in El Paso, Texas, the other one in Dayton, Ohio, making four mass shootings in America in the last week alone. 255 in 2019 so far.
This was a heartbreaking weekend of unspeakable tragedy, and yet one that disturbingly feels all too familiar.
When it comes to gun control, I know it can feel like everything's been said before. In fact, even pointing out everything's been said before has been said before. In fact, even pointing out the fact that everything's been said before has been said before has been said before.
Of course, as we all know by now, there's an epidemic of gun violence and mass shootings in this country, and no matter how difficult, we cannot become numb to it. But it's also not just about guns.
Guns. Guns. Guns.
The shooting in El Paso was an act of white supremacist domestic terrorism, specifically targeting Hispanics. It's a threat that is growing and real. These are facts we must look squarely in the eye. No matter how monstrous, the spread of violent white supremacy has been fueled by racist vitriol, warning of invasions by immigrants, language that is frequently echoed by right-wing media outlets, and, of course, the president. And on top of that, there is, of course, too much easy access to weapons of war that should be outlawed. This is a moment that demands moral clarity.
And again, our leaders in one party in particular are offering not much more than their thoughts and their prayers. And, you know, I was thinking and praying about it. And both parties say, they say one thing, that we're too divided. And this is something we hear a lot, that we need to find something we can agree on. Well, here's something we can agree on. Too many people are being shot with high-powered weapons. I think we agree on that.
All right. Better put that fancy gun in your hand. You might need it.
All right. I'll take my gun.
Now we're going to have that talk.
My money.
See, in this world, there's two kinds of people, my friend. Those with loaded guns.
Gee.
Those who dig. You dig.
Well, the difference between justice and murder.
He's coming out. I can see his horse.
Gosh, what excitement.
And they agree on this, too. They did a poll last year. 97% of gun owners, these are gun owners, support universal background checks. 97%. That's unheard of. You could ask people, is ice cream delicious, and not get 97%.
I was right there listening, and I just couldn't leave till I heard both the stories.
And something has got to be done here, and not just about guns. The El Paso shooting is currently being investigated as a hate crime, and the shooter's manifesto featured anti-immigrant language that may well be familiar to you from certain cable networks and certain presidents. And clearly, white nationalism and anti-immigrant hysteria did not start with this president. But he certainly seems to have created an environment where those kind of views can fester and indeed thrive. In fact, just 3 months ago, as he was deliberately winding up a crowd with the image of 15,000 immigrants marching toward the border, this happened.
One or more Trump supporters at a Trump rally in Florida yelled the solution to the invasion was to, quote, shoot them. The president clearly heard his devoted supporters yell, "Shoot them," and the president smiled. The president didn't say, "Don't shoot them." The president welcomed the comment. Everything about the president's reaction to one of his voters saying, "Shoot them," indicated that the president approved of the idea. The president actually offered his audience the strategic advice to not try to get away with saying, "Shoot them," unless they're in a place like the Florida Panhandle.
How do you stop these people? You can't. There's no... That's only in the Panhandle you can get away with that statement. Only in the Panhandle.
Yeah, but here is the thing about that. It is not only in the Panhandle where you can get away with that statement. You can now get away with it all over the country. And, as he just made painfully clear, in any room the actual president is in, which is absolutely appalling. And that is something we cannot afford to get numb to. Because if that ever, for even a moment, feels like it's become normal, we are completely f***ed.
Is there anything in your mind that the president can do now to make this any better?
What do you think? You know the shit he's been saying. He's been calling Mexican immigrants rapists and criminals. I don't know, like, members of the press, what the fuck? Hold on a second. You know, it's these questions that you know the answers to. I mean, connect the dots about what he's been doing in this country. He's not tolerating racism, he is promoting racism. He's not tolerating violence, he's inciting racism and violence in this country.
Yes, we've had a rise in hate crimes, every single one of the last 3 years, during an administration where you have a president who's called Mexicans rapists and criminals, though Mexican immigrants commit crimes at a far lower rate than those born here in the country, he has tried to make us afraid of them to some real effect and consequence. Attempting to ban all Muslims from this country, the day that he signed that executive order, the mosque in Victoria, Texas, was burned to the ground. Those chants that we heard in Greenville, North Carolina, "Send her back," talking about our fellow American citizens duly elected to represent their constituents in the Congress who happen to be women of color. He is a racist, and he stokes racism in this country, and it does not just offend our sensibilities. It fundamentally changes the character of this country, and it leads to violence.
I'm gonna kill you with this one bullet if you try to take his gun. So come on, take it. If you can.
Hand it over. You'll be dead before you can draw the hammer back.
That's so.
We know there is a clear correlation between the number of guns we have in this country and the number of gun-related deaths we have in this country. For one thing, America has 4.4% of the world's population, but almost half of its civilian-owned guns. There are proven, straightforward, widely popular ways that we can at least begin to address this epidemic of gun violence. And then, of course, there's the issue of the president's racist, anti-immigrant rhetoric and the growing threat of white supremacy. Our political leaders should have to answer for where they stand on these issues. And yet, at first, some senior Republicans refused to even go on TV and answer questions about it. As CNN's Jake Tapper noted on his show on Sunday morning.
We're going to talk with at least four presidential candidates today about what they would do to stop this epidemic of mass shootings and shootings. We should note that we invited the Republican governor, lieutenant governor, and both Republican U.S. senators representing Texas to join us this morning. They all declined. The Republican governor of Ohio also declined. We also asked the White House to provide someone to discuss these shootings. That request, too, was declined.
Republican members of Congress refused to go on CNN to talk about the shootings. Now, the cops in Dayton ran into the line of fire to stop the guy shooting. The politicians were too cowardly to go on cable television to talk about it. And meanwhile, this is what our president was busy with this weekend. This is not a joke. ASAP Rocky, released from prison and on his way home to the United States from Sweden. It was a rocky week. Get home ASAP, ASAP. Good one, Mr. President. You got that dollar sign in just the right spot. But back to the shootings in El Paso and Dayton.
We're talking to a lot of people. And a lot of things are in the works and a lot of good things. And we have done much more than most administrations. And it's not really not talked about very much, but we've done actually a lot. But perhaps more has to be done.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, do more. That would be good, because whatever you've been doing doesn't seem to be going too great. He refuses to take any responsibility for any of this, but he did take the opportunity to point that little finger of blame at, you'll never guess who. The media has a big responsibility to life and safety in our country. Fake news has contributed greatly to the anger and rage that has built up over many years. News coverage has got to start being fair, balanced, and unbiased, or these terrible problems will only get worse. He blamed the fake news, and later he and some other Republicans blamed video games. And of course, there are zero studies that link video games to gun violence. And they play video games all over the world. This is the only place where this happens regularly. Video games have not been linked to gun violence, but you know what is linked to gun violence? Guns are linked to gun violence. That, the problem isn't fake news. It's real guns. Anyway, the president today tried his very best to be presidential. They even fired up the old teleprompter so Trump could finally come out against white supremacy and offer words of condolence to the people of Dayton, Ohio, which he calls Toledo.
May God bless the memory of those who perished in Toledo.
Yeah, nobody perished in Toledo. It was Dayton. They're different cities. And by the way, the word Toledo, if you'll see here, wasn't even in the teleprompter. Someone got this shot, and it clearly says Texas and Ohio. So nice work, Don Burgundy. You're doing great. And this really tells, this, I think maybe more than anything, gives you some insight into how much this man cares. 14 minutes after he tweeted about the shooting in El Paso on Saturday, he followed it up with a shout out to you, UFC fighter. Fight hard tonight, Colby. You are a real champ. Hashtag MAGA. And like many Americans who've been repeatedly punched in the head, Colby Covington is a big Donald Trump supporter. And there's nothing Donald Trump loves more than people who love Donald Trump.
Count to three.
All the way up to six if I had to. Maybe faster than you.
One.
When I say three, draw. One.
If you say two, I'll kiss you.
Count two.
Gee, I'll kill the next man who speaks.
Gosh, what excitement.
Fight! In his own way, Trump tried to heal a nation.
Now is the time to set destructive partisanship aside, so destructive, and find the courage to answer hatred with unity, devotion, and love.
Yes, we must set aside partisan bickering over who fired up the white nationalists in our country and come together as one to sing, "Send her back, oh Lord, send her back. Someone's different, Lord, send her back. I'm not racist, Lord."
They like my joke. We'll let them go home in a little while.
Trump defended guns on camera, but on Twitter he was more open to compromise.
Republicans and Democrats must come together and get strong background checks, perhaps marrying dot, 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 this legislation with desperately needed immigration reform. We must have something good, if not great, come out of these two tragic events. And if I know anything about marrying, it's always a tragic event.
But listen to what he's doing. Listen to what he's trying to do. Listen to what he's trying to do here. Gun control and immigration reform have nothing to do with each other, and they're also the two hardest things to do in Washington, so naturally, he just wants to combine them.
Congress has not been able to eat fire or levitate. So they should try to do them both at the same time. Might make it easier to levitate with those flames shooting out your butt.
And sure enough, when Trump did read off the teleprompter today, he ticked through the usual scapegoats he has in the past, mental illness, video games, and did it flatly.
In one voice, our nation must condemn racism, bigotry, and white supremacy. We must reform our mental health laws to better identify mentally disturbed individuals who may commit acts of violence and make sure those people not only get treatment, but when necessary, involuntary confinement. Mental illness and hatred pulls the trigger, not the gun.
First of all, he's wrong. Second, he sounds like a fourth grader auditioning for the role of the Scarecrow in Wizard of Oz.
I would like a line. Brian.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
Do? Why, if I had a brain,
I could while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain. And my head, I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching if I only had a brain. I'd unravel every riddle for any individual in trouble or in pain.
With the thoughts you'd be thinking, you could be another Lincoln if you only had a brain.
Oh, I could tell you why the ocean's near the shore. I could think of things I never thought before, and then I'd sit and think some more. I would not be just a nuffin, my head all full of stuffin, my heart all full of pain. I would dance and be merry, life would be a ding-a-dairy if I only had a brain.
It's an invasion of our country. We have an invasion of drugs, invasion of gangs, invasion of people.
I don't care what the fake media says, that's an invasion of our country.
We have right now an invasion. If you look at what's going on with the caravans, it's an invasion. Stop this onslaught, this invasion into our country, Jim. People hate the word invasion, but that's what it is.
The New York Times reports that since January, Mr. Trump's re-election campaign has posted more than 2,000 ads on Facebook that include the word invasion, part of a barrage of advertising focused on immigration. According to data obtained by the New York Times, the Trump campaign had one of its biggest expenditures on Facebook ads about immigration last week, just before the El Paso massacre.
You know, the way terrorism works, there are a lot of angry people, there are a lot of ideologically motivated people out there, but it takes a piling on of grievance, a exacerbation of grievance, and also a dehumanization of the enemy in order to take somebody who's angry and politicized and have them mobilize and cross that threshold to violence. And I think that's what we've seen, especially in the last couple months with this, beating the drum on this whole issue of invasion, but also the comments about the four members of Congress of color and the rats and the vermin. All of those things are, you know, part and parcel of what brings somebody from just being a highly politicized ideological person to a violent person.
And you make the point in your essay about the language of the mass murder in Pittsburgh at the synagogue, the language of the mass murder in El Paso, being Trump language, this desperate fear they have about what they call this invasion at the southern border.
It's the whole series of these grievances that triggers these very deep emotions in people. They say that the immigrants are going to harm them economically. He says they're going to take away their security, that they're all criminals, rapists. And then he talks about, they're coming into the country, they're gonna vote me out of office, they're gonna do all these things to me, and you're gonna be under a different rule, you're gonna be under minority rule. So they're taking away their political power. So he piles on one set of grievance after the other. And, this is what highly ideological terrorist organizations do to motivate their followers to violence.
And you make the point that how much more of this kind of violence might we see in the next 15 months of the presidential campaign? And you say, if the president continues with this kind of rhetoric, it's hard to imagine the president using any other kind of rhetoric. This is what he's been using since the day he announced his candidacy.
Well, you're right about that. I mean, I would certainly plead to him to turn back. You know, he announced his campaign, started his campaign in July, and here we are in August, and this has happened. I just don't think the country can take 15 months of that kind of heightened, highly politicized, highly racialized rhetoric.
I would send out for assistance, but the soul on the signal wire and the corporation logo is flashing on and off in the sky. They're putting all your names in the forbidden book. I know what they're doing, but I don't want to look. You think they're so dumb, you think they're so funny. Wait until they got you running.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.